Daryl, why do you think people are being abducted? Let's get right down to it. What is your view about the motivation for abduction?
Well, I think it is. I think the best way for me to answer this is almost in reverse. People tell me what their idea is, and their idea is that they're trying to help us and they're upgrading us and by breeding us this way and that way. And I said, my opinion is based on our research for 38 years. Is they have that is the very thing that frightens them. And the fact is, if there's any breeding going on, they're breeding it out. They're breeding certain things out of people, not in, but out. And I said, this thing, this is just opinion. I mean, it's not gospel or anything, and it's nothing that nothing I want to get beat up over or flamed over. But basically, what we're finding in our research after 38 years is there's a problem. And I think it's a serious problem. I think we're in trouble. And I think Roswell was the first case that proved it. I mean, one day you have the government saying, we found a flying saucer. The next day they're saying, no, we didn't. I have a totally different take on Roswell than anybody out there, and I think
we were
set up for a long time ago. Even Roswell was one of the first setups.
In what sense? Nobody's really surprised that one day it was a flying saucer, and the very next day it was a little bit of aluminum in a balloon. I mean,
right.
That's typical military secrecy.
Well, I think two things happened, and look, I'm going to put my intelligence hat on for just a second after about 30 years, and let me show you how that thinks. If you were them and you wanted to infiltrate our military-industrial complex, how would one do it? Well, the people don't have a clue, say, land on the White House lawn, give the president a gift. I've already saw the movie. That didn't work, and it wouldn't work. We would be watching them for forever. However, if a UFO should accidentally collide into another one, or if lightning should strike it, or whatever causes one to crash, and you sacrifice one or two craft, maybe one at Corona, one at Roswell as an example, and they landed there, and only one or two of the entities survived, it doesn't make any difference. They're just toasters anyway. I mean, you just unplug them, that's all. There are plenty more toasters where they come from. There's a good indication these entities are not alive in the sense of the word that we used it.
When you say they're just toasters.
Well, they give you an example. Whenever I saw the entities when I was a little boy, they didn't have he didn't have any clothes on. And what would a four-year-old child look at if you were nude? It didn't have any TT. It didn't have a belly button. It didn't have any nipples like I did. And I couldn't understand why that thing, that little man, didn't have anything. I couldn't understand it. But after 38 years of investigating and looking at this from genetics and other points of view, if you don't have genitalia, you don't multiply. If you don't
have, certainly not as we do.
Not as we do. And if you don't have a belly button, so to speak, a navel, you weren't born. Not like we were. Now, you might have been cloned, you might have been hatched, or you might have been manufactured. But you didn't nurse and you didn't do these other things.
Yeah, that's fair enough, sure.
It just makes sense. So if my thesis is that we don't have a clue, and we still don't, that we have a lot of subterfuge by these entities, and basically, unless you're in the intelligence business or you think with an intelligence hat on, you're basically soup for whatever it is they're preparing because you don't have a clue. That's just my thesis. And the reason I say that, going back to Roswell again, is that let's say a UFO was crashed there on purpose. Or even two of them. It doesn't matter because the model is the same. And all of a sudden, you capture, quote unquote, an alien and a smoking hot UFO. Now you're in charge. There's nothing to be afraid of because you own them. The only problem is that there's not one abductee out there in the entire universe that can't tell you if one of those little entities gets near you, he can download your information from your brain so fast. It's incredible.
Most of the abductees, and I've interviewed many, many over the years, have come back with the attitude that they're pretty warm and they're pretty fuzzy, and they're not, other than the people that were just flat out terrified, They've come back with completely different attitudes, like they're here to help us. They're, you know, they're our friends.
Well, I think the best illustration of the, your point there, and mine too at the same time, is the Charlie Hickson, Calvin Parker case. Here are two police officers doing their job, get abducted during the course of their police work. One of them comes off the craft, Calvin Parker, comes off the craft with his stomach cut across, and his blood has literally soaked his jeans to the knees, and I interviewed both of them. I know them very well, for one of the best way. And here he is. He comes off the craft, an abductee. Charlie Hickson comes off the craft as a quote-unquote contactee. Now, the contactee is being defined as someone who feels like those events, whether they were pleasant or not, they were for our best and highest good, and these entities probably know best what to do with us, and so basically we should obey them and do whatever we're told to do. That would be a contactee. An abductee has had a different experience, and they probably remember a lot more of their event and their body. They pay attention to their body, which gives the feeling and the sensations of things that actually occurred. Now, here are two men on the same craft, the same time. One comes off an abductee, another one comes off a contactee. One of them's cut across the stomach, holding his stomach, bleeding all the way down to the knees. Which store do you think I'm going to buy first? It sounds like
probably the one with physical evidence.
One of them became, in my opinion, it's something that we see often with this, and I discussed this with John Mack over in Istanbul, Turkey, as well, when we spoke over there. He says, why do I find a lot of these people that come up contactees, and you find a lot of them turn up to be abductees? And I said, John, I said, I respect you. I have a lot of respect for you. And I said, we're just discussing. He said, that's all. He said, fire away. And I said, okay. I said, first of all, you realize these entities provide a screensaver memory for everyone's there. They give a nonsensical memory, such as a 3-foot owl with large black eyes or whatever, something that would make you question your own event. I said, you're hypnotizing the screensaver memory, and that creates a system of a continuous system of subterfuge in that person's mind. And what you're getting is not true. It's not accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was stunned. And I said, you're kind of a new kid on the block. I said, you got these wonderful credentials. I said, but you're, I don't think you know the difference between memory and recall. I said, it's not showing, in my opinion, based on what you're telling me. I said, we have people that are contactees as well. I said, but it's not beyond our detection to see that these screensaver memories that these people have, it's like a computer. If you leave a computer alone, that screensaver comes up. Well, that's kind of what happens in our abduction experiences. But if you ever grab that abductee, so to speak, and shake them and get that screensaver off or remove it, you'll get back down to the hard drive and find out what's really in there.
In the cases where you've done that, Daryl, in the cases where you've gone past the screensaver, is there any common theme? In other words, are we talking about a negative experience?
For the most part, that is the case. And I've worked, now this kind of hits hard. I've worked with top psychics and others in the country who feel like their experiences were positive, pleasant, uplifting, and everything. But once I got past the screensaver, they just lay there and scream.